Miracles.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. This is the Misfits of Gold weekly special with my good homeboy, MF Beck, and my little sister, Travis Highland. You know, each week we come on here and we talk about things from life to politics to everything in between, and it kind of gives an open perspective. You know, callers, 323-417-6810, hit 1. You can join the program if you don't, you know, agree with us. Hey, you know what, that's what life's about. We're just here expressing our thoughts, and if you feel like listening or calling in, that's on you. You know, I kind of want to start out today's show. Oh, first and foremost, welcome to the show, fellas.
Hi, what's up, Doc?
Man, get a little carried away there, man. But, you know, we kind of talked about it before we went live, and I told you guys to hold your thoughts because, you know, I hated Donald Trump. You know, we started, you know, talking about it, and you kind of gave me a thought. And I'm a man of intrigue, so I looked into him, and the more I watched him, the more I ended up liking him, you know. And I got to admit, you know, he may not be the best president for the country. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that field. But I do know he's a man that speaks his mind. And he just put out a tweet that, you know, I ain't going to lie, it had me dying, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but he said, you know, when they were talking about Puerto Rico, he said the Puerto Ricans weren't nothing but Mexicans with glorified New York accents. I mean, I got to admit, I was rolling. I mean, that was hilarious to me. You know, what are your guys' thoughts on the President of the United States being the type of individual that truly shares his true retrospect and doesn't hide behind the White House walls? I'll start with you, MF.
I think it's a little refreshing, you know what I mean? I don't trust any politician. I don't trust any businessman. But the one thing I do trust about businessmen is that it's a lot easier to predict what avenue they choose to use, you know what I mean? Like, with politicians, you never fucking know what they're telling you or why they're telling you or whatever kind of smokescreen. Like, with Trump, like, he may say shit that offends people all the fucking time. You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. A lot of shit of what he says, I'm like, oh, dude, you could have worded that just a little bit better. But, you know, in that same breath, he does that shit for a reason. It's not because he's, like, you know, just spouting shit up out of the butthole. Like, I really think, like, he's legit got a plan. Like, Travis and I have talked about this numerous times. Like, the things he does, it's like, if you look at it from outside of politics, it all makes sense. But if you look at it from, like, a political standpoint to where you're trying to make everybody happy, you got to understand one thing. Like, he's not a politician. He's a businessman. He's not in it to make everybody happy. He's in it to make what he believes, you know, is his venture to be the best that it can be. And especially being a businessman, I mean, shit. America itself is a fucking business, so why would he not try to do the best thing that he could, you know? And he's not in this game to be number two. I don't care what anybody in their little fucking rhetoric they want to say. Look at that motherfucker and really, God, honestly tell me that he's in it to work for somebody else. You got me fucking confused. No, that motherfucker is in this game to be numero uno. Like, he wants to be King Donkey Dick, you know? He's got the business side on lock. Now we've got politics on lock. And look at him. He is the most important person in politics right now, regardless if you love him or hate him. But at the same time, like, look at that, dude. He's using fucking Mayweather 101 tactics. It doesn't matter if you like him or if you fucking hate him. You're going to pay attention to him. And that's where he's got it. That's where a lot of these politicians don't understand, like, what's happening. It's like, he's playing the game that he knows how to play, and you guys don't know how to fucking play this shit. Yeah, he says some stupid things. Yeah, he says some things that may offend people. But like what, you know, Joey was saying a couple, like, 2 weeks ago. It doesn't fucking matter, dude. This society just got so fucking Nancy-like to where everybody's so easily offended and easily hurt. It's like, you can't look at the fucking situation for what it is. It's like, you hate this motherfucker so much that you're willing to overlook other atrocities. And it's the same thing for people on his side. You know, it's like, they love him so much that they're willing to overlook the things that people on his side do. So it's kind of like a give and take, you know what I mean? But you can't always make everybody happy. But at least the one thing about him, you know, we can expect what's going to fucking come out of his mouth. We can expect what he's going to do. The politicians are like, whose ass are going to kiss? Who are they lying about? Who's doing this? You know, like, I hate to even say it, but you were bringing up Mexicans, Puerto Ricans. You got a homie in Iowa that fucking knifed up that girl. You know, fucking rest in peace. But it's that whole fucking liberal side is trying to act like, oh, well, the fact that he's illegal has nothing to do with it. I was like, no, you were absolutely fucking right. That's just one of the things that he was, you know, he was caught fucking 7 years ago, or he's been in this country 7 years. I don't fucking know. I don't remember all the fucking details. But he knifed some fucking girl. But, you know, it's like nobody wants to take that away. It's like the whole focus is on him being a Mexican. Fuck the fact that he knifed somebody. He's a Mexican and he's illegal, and that's what everybody wants to focus on, left and right. You know, like that's the kind of shit that we're in. So it's like we may not want Donald Trump, but right now he's the president that this country needs. I hate to fucking say it, but he really is. We need that asshole. We need somebody who doesn't care about your feelings. He only cares about bottom line, what's going to happen.
You know, I have to agree. Travis?
Yep. I mean, I couldn't agree more. And the thing that I always notice when I look at these situations, man, is just the fucking hypocrisy that seems to only, for the most part, be coming from the left, you know. And not to turn this into a political, you know, I hate Democrats, I hate Republicans, because I just hate government and politics. Everybody knows that. But the fact of the matter is these people who are overly offended about the fact that he said that, you know, Puerto Ricans are Mexicans with a New York accent, those people aren't doing shit to help actual Puerto Rico, who has now been out of fucking power for 10 goddamn months and they're about to go into hurricane season again. Nobody gives a fuck about the actual state and the actual people fucking suffering. They just give a fuck that he said something that hurt their, you know, fucking white privilege fucking feelings. And on top of that, man, you get the same thing where it's like, you know, yeah, all these media outlets are focused on Trump making a tweet, but yet nobody gives a shit that they just found a fucking death camp in New Mexico where a Muslim man sacrificed his disabled child to Satan and then was training kids to commit fucking school shooting. And on top of that, that man gets let out on a fucking written $20,000 bond. I mean, Don, I've been arrested on multiple occasions for having a fucking what they called a gravity knife, which later got found out to not be a gravity knife. I was held on $50,000 fucking bond. This dude kills his kid and is training fucking school shooters, and he gets let on a third of what I got let out on. So it's one of these things where it's like, again, you have to look at the hypocrisy. Are people just going to continue to cry for what hurts their feelings, or are they actually going to make a stand for the real fucking atrocities that are happening in the world?
I have to agree, you know, on certain aspects. You know, that's one thing I love about this show is we can all agree to disagree, and our thoughts aren't always going to be the same. You know, I kind of want to take the show in a deeper retrospect. You know, when we look at aspects of drugs and, you know, we're cool with some, you know, some don't believe in pharmaceuticals, some don't believe in aspects. But when a certain aspect of life has you questioning yourself and your intent as a father and what you've done in life, or has, you know, just anybody up in arms and not understanding how one could be put in such a situation. Do we call it an epidemic, or do we call it a country under siege? And, you know, I'm gonna share a story on today's show that sits deep with me. You know, my son is a heroin addict. You know, you can say, oh, well, he doesn't do heroin anymore, that he does Suboxone or Subutex. But that's just a pharmaceutical version of heroin. Now, you look at these young people that are addicted to it. They're selling their bodies. They're dying. And nobody's talking about it. You know, here I sit as a father. I've been through multiple overdoses with my child. And, you know, multiple treatment centers and thousands of dollars, only to see him to get better, just to fall down again. You know, so I question myself as a father, but on the same time, I question society, because I'm not the only household out there. I'm not the only father, I'm not the only parent. You know, so when you look at it in that aspect, what do we do to fix a problem that is so blatantly out of control and killing kids, adults, by the thousands daily, but yet nobody does anything about it? So in that retrospect, are we a country under siege, or are we a country that just don't truly give a fuck? Your thoughts, Travis?
Man, I mean, at this point, I really feel like a lot of these things, like the drug epidemic we're going through now, as well as so many drug epidemics of the past, man, I honestly believe that they have a top-down kind of structure. You know, we in this country, we don't value our children in any way, shape, or form. You know, that is reflected in the fact that we have the worst fucking education system almost on the planet, yet we're the richest country that there is. You know, so it just brings up to me the question, you know, is this current epidemic that we're going through right now, you know, this opioid epidemic, is it something that is not necessarily started and is pushed forth by the government, but is allowed to continue to, you know, wreak the havoc that it does, man? And I think, honestly, that the biggest thing we can do in this country to help everybody is we have to create less losers. And losers are created in high school. I don't mean that in the term of, you know, in the regular term of loser. I mean that in the term of somebody who is not cared for by society, somebody who is pushed to the side by our education.
Bullied on.
Exactly.
I mean,
somebody who didn't have not only a fair shake, but at the same time, you know, they asked for help, and there isn't a system set up to help them. And there's not a system set up to help the parents. The system is set up against these children. You know,
okay.
I saw a thing.
Hold up a second. And I don't mean to interject. I mean, I do agree with you. But I do, on a certain text, I disagree with you because, you know, my son wasn't bullied. You know, there's actually two things in the statement, and this is what's great about our show is because me and Travis are still going to love each other after this. Let's get that out right out in the beginning. But, you know, there are a lot of parents that don't give a fuck, but I'm a parent that gave a fuck. I'm a parent that worked my ass off 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, 42 weeks a year to provide for my child. You know, so that's one issue I disagree with. The other is that, you know, man, this whole aspect, it's not about being bullied because, I mean, yeah, in some retrospect, I agree with you, brother, but on other levels, it's situations where there are parents to blame. So, like I said, I agree with you on that, but there's situations that parents truly give a fuck. You know, it lies in there. See, I'm learning as a parent of a heroin addict that it's out of my control. What I'd like to know from you is, where do we get that control? Where do we get an understanding? Because whether it be politically motivated by the country to create an epidemic, or whether it be, you know, you're not a user until you pick up and use. So, I mean, tell me, how do we fix this in the eyes of just, not just my son, but across the country?
I mean, and Don, I really think that you actually kind of hit on a few things that I was trying to get at in a less eloquent way. You know, like you were saying, your son, like, and I mean, I'll just take myself for example, because that's the example I truly know. You know, I wasn't bullied. I had parents who, in a lot of ways, overly gave a fuck, were incredibly, you know, watchful. They always, you know, met my parents' friends. They were always talking to other parents to where I was going. But that didn't stop me, you know. Children are not raised solely by their parents, you know. I'm talking more about the education system we have. The fact that children, you know, for the most part, are a reflection of the five people that they spend the most time around. You know, and you get into these upper grades of grade school and high school, man. And I realize that, you know, just because I had good parents, you know, and I have the good parent privilege and the white privilege and the, you know, heterosexual cis male privilege and all the other fucking privileges in the world, it didn't necessarily matter because we are in this public education system where your kids are not going to only, you know, pick up you and the people around you and, you know, the good influences around them, you know. I got my bad influences from my friends at school and from, you know, the one or two parents around school who didn't give a fuck, who didn't watch their kids, who we could go over to their house and we know that there would be no supervision and we could play with fire and we could take the fucking car out in the middle of the night because we knew that, you know, this particular parents were too drunk or too pilled up to give a fuck. So, I mean, I really think it comes back to that connection like we talk about. We have to have a connection in our community. We have to have 30 or 40 parents around who all give a fuck. I mean, you know, Don, back in my day and back in your day, back in MS day, did you ever get your ass whooped by a friend's, you know, mother or father? Because it happened to me. But you know, you look at nowadays, and now another parent cannot discipline somebody else's child unless they're going to call fucking CPS on you and, you know, get you locked up in jail. So I think it honestly, we have a societal problem that needs to be addressed in almost a larger yet smaller scale community that we can all be personally, you know, held responsible to.
And Matt, what are your thoughts, brother?
You know, it's one of those things. I love how you never ask me the easy questions. But, you know, like what Travis said, I think it's an accumulation of everything, man. And, you know, like, kind of same thing. I had loving parents, although I'm from an emotionally distant family. You know what I mean? Like, we're not big on emotions. We're not big on the I love you and fucking have a good day and blah, 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 blah. Like, I was never brought up on that shit. You know what I mean? I grew up watching my parents' backs because they were busy fucking working, trying to do shit. But at the same time, you know, like, they took care of me. They fucking... But they would kind of let me fuck up, too. Like, you know, hopefully I would learn my lessons. So I had both my older brother and my older sister in and out of fucking Jimmy when I was younger, so I grew up watching that shit. But then you look at school, all the friends, everything else. But I don't think it's just the people you're around. You know, it's like you look even deeper in that situation. It's like, why are you around those people in the first place? You know, what was it on the reason why you did what you did? Did you do it to impress people? Did you do it to, you know, be involved? You know, it sometimes it's better to fucking be a piece of shit than to fucking be alone. You know, like, there's all these different things that could happen, dude. Like, I watched a brother of mine fucking go down the fucking the meth and heroin train because of heartbreak, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it could be any circumstance that could be there, but it's the point is that these people feel alone, like there's a fucking hole in their heart somewhere, you know what I mean? And any circumstance could create that, so I'm not saying one's worse than the other. Because, you know, we all have our own demons and our own lives and shit, but it's like, there's something that needs to fill that void, and they're going to turn to whatever they have to turn to. You know, like I said, it could be maybe they're trying to impress these friends because they feel alone, and it's like, you know, I'd rather do this and be accepted than to be by, you know, be myself and be alone. A lot of people struggle with that, you know, and then they could have, or they could have impossible fucking, you know, what is the word I'm fucking looking for? Like, something like they get held to a higher degree than what they believe that they could fucking do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, accountability.
Yeah, thank you. There's like a whole different thing, you know, like, even when I was younger, I always felt like I had the fucking weight of the world on my shoulders, like I was supposed to fucking save people. And then I realized it's like what Travis said, dude, like, you can't fucking change anything, you can't control anything, you can't, you know, control people. They're going to do what they're going to do. You know, it's a hard lesson, man, and it sucks because it's like, what can you do if they're not willing to help themselves? And a lot of times, you could have the most loving people in the world, but it ends up just enabling them because there's a bigger roots to the problem. Now, I don't know what that problem is because, you know, everybody's unique, everybody's got their own shit. But it's like, dude, like, when I was addicted to shit, it was like I was running for myself, you know, for whatever reason I could. And I had, you know, under the friends, my family actually gave a shit. They were trying to help, but it was like I went into that darkness myself, you know what I mean? And the life I chose myself. For what reasons? It was, you know, could have been a lot of things. You could have been feeling lonely, wanting to feel accepted, wondering why you felt like such a fucking outsider, that at least if I did this, people would look at me a little fucking differently. You know, it's like people go to extremes, you know, they act like assholes, they do this shit just to get attention because to them, any attention is better than no attention. You know, it's like a cry for fucking help that people don't want to listen to, and that's where Travis comes in with, you know, the whole tribal thing. It's like, I had parents that gave a shit. Like, my parents had to meet everybody, you know, and their parents had to meet everybody. But then there was always that one that your parents didn't like, that nobody liked, but for some reason you want to hang out with. Why? Because it was easier to get in trouble with that motherfucker. You know, you could go to the parents' house, they didn't give a shit. You could smoke cigarettes at his house, his parents didn't give a shit. Y'all could stay there and sneak out through the night, parents didn't give a shit. There was always that one person that they could end up being around, dude. So it's like, if there was more positive people in society, it would help out. But then you take out of society, dude, look at TV, look at the radio, look at all this shit that influences people to where either, A, if they don't feel like, you know, they're fucking gangster shit, they're not real motherfuckers, you know what I mean? They ain't got no fucking credit. Or it's like, you know, if we're not buying these thousands of dollars, we're not keeping up with the Kardashians, our lives don't mean shit. And then it's like, you know, if we don't look like these fucking models, we don't look like these celebrities with perfect teeth and perfect bodies, you know, we're not shit. So it's when you look at all these different factors, dude, it could you could go any direction on why people would fucking go that direction, you know what I mean? So it's definitely not an easy solution or an easy fucking question to answer.
No, it truly isn't. You know, it's like, that's what I love about this show, is there's three generation levels in this conversation. You know, you take me, I'm the eldest of all of us, and then of course you
probably
and
both
and
us
and Travis. But you know, that's what's dope about it, is because you get three generational perspectives, and I look at life and it's like I did the best I can, and you get to a certain point in time that, you know, you look at your own situation and you say, enough is enough. You know, I've done all I can. I can't take it anymore. And then, you know, that just even adds more, you know, fuel to the fire, because now you're throwing that aspect away, and in a sense you're throwing your child away, or your uncle, your brother, or sister, whoever it may be. But, you know, accountability, like you said, it's the truest form to the path to learning oneself. You know, and, you know, the show does go kind of deep, but it's great we get all these different perspectives. You know, I kind of want to change the tone here a little bit, you know, as kind of got a little deep there. I apologize for that, you know. Now I know why they fucking call me Barbara Walters. But,
Morgan Freeman.
Oh, dude, as long as it ain't Dr. Phil, they tried to call me that bald-headed son of a bitch one time, and I wouldn't have that.
Hey, he's got a nice mustache, though, bro. You got to admit, that motherfucker is Taylor.
Hey, John, I'm giving John Holmes a run for his money, bro. Shit, I'm bringing a porn stash back, you know?
Hey, you just need a taco meat and a gold chain, dog, and a fucking Hawaiian shirt, and you're good to go.
Hey, I'm already set, bro. It don't matter. You know, and I live in the land of the hillbilly. I don't give a fuck. I be essayed out. You know, the other day
you
realized...
You said it like a hillbilly.
Yeah, right. I did a live feed with Jacob Stisharan the other day. And, you know, I was catching a lot of flack for sharing the new bare knuckle aspect of the sport. And, you know, what gets me, and it kind of coincides with what we talk about on the show, man. It's like you go back 100 or so years, people love the shit. It was a sensation. You go to the beginning of the UFC, people loved it, you know, because, oh, my God, here, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then, you know, they add gloves and wraps and all this shit to the sport and boxing gloves. And, you know, it was like it kind of went into this new era of shit. Now that they want to bring back the truest form of the sport, it's like people are against it, you know. So in that reference, it kind of shows you how people are and how different generations are, because, you know, it's like, how can you love something, to love it, to hate it, to say it's barbaric, but yet it was something that the sport was created from. And you can look at that in all aspects, politics, life, everything, you know, and it all correlates down to the same thing. I think people are, you know, changing, the times are changing, but I did the show with Stitch to try to, you know, let people know that it was going to be one of the safest aspects of the sport and one of the truest forms, and a lot of UFC veterans and a lot of people have jumped on the bandwagon and feel the same. You know, we haven't talked sports in a minute, but I do want to get your guys' thoughts on the retrospect and the bringing back of bare-knuckle boxing. Do you think it's an aspect that is going to allow the sport to grow since it's already over-inundated in the MMA aspect? Or do you think it's going to be something that is the demise of the sport? And I'll start with you, MF.
Man, first and foremost, you know, it's, people are going to do what they're going to do, Don. You know, you just keep being you. That's why I fucking love you. But you look at these people like, okay, so you're okay while watching two people beat the dog shit out of each other, but you want them to be safe while they do it. Because that totally fucking makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, I want these guys go in there and maul each other. Oh, but no, 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 I don't want them to break anything. You know, Lord forbid they get some fucking brain damage. You're watching these two dudes go in there and beat the shit out of each other for your entertainment. I understand how fucked up that is right there. That's like, how are you going to sit there and get mad at somebody's difference between bare knuckle, you know, fucking hemp rope fights, gloves? What fucking difference does it matter? Are they killing each other? No. You know, thank fucking God we haven't got to that point yet. But it's fucking, it's like Travis said, that fucking hypocrisy. You look at all these fucking sports, like the UFC was rad. The original UFC was rad because to me, it wasn't the matter of fact that no rules, you know what I mean? To me, it was like the first version of style versus style. And it was cool because you really got to see, like, this 5'9" dude go against a fucking 7-foot-tall, 600-pound sumo wrestler and fucking win. And win. You know what I mean? It's cool that you get to see shit like that, but it's like you accept it. It's like, I'm literally watching these guys go in there, one of them could possibly fucking die. But you know what? It's like, that's where my fucking devil is. That's one of my fucking demons. You know, like, I'm okay with violence. I'm actually kind of sadistic. But if you look at the sporting aspect, it's like, how much safer can you make shit? Football, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. Pay me millions of dollars. I'll put on a helmet. I'll run through the field. And if somebody cracks me, knocks me out, eh. You know, I'll take it down. I'll fucking sit my ass on the bench. And guess what? My head's hurting. Well, soon as my fucking contract's done, I'm gone. But, dude, you're getting paid, you know, all this fucking money. And, you know, you're worried about your safety. Like, please, you knew what the fuck you were doing when you signed up for it. Same thing with the fighters. People want to bitch about bare knuckles. It's like they knew what they were doing before you said anything. It's like, and I'm sure none of those motherfuckers have ever watched a fucking rope fight before. But that's just entertaining to me because it's like you don't see them swinging as hard. You don't see them doing as much because they got to protect their fucking hands. You know what I mean? But it's at the same time, it's like one shot puts them down a lot faster than a shot with fucking gloves on. So I don't know, man. It's just the fucking masses and people want to find shit to be mad about and everybody wants to be sensitive about this and sensitive about that and fucking worry about somebody else's health, but yet they have no issue wanting to watch two people beat the shit out of each other. I don't know. It's kind of funny to me.
Yeah, right. You know, it's stymieing me, but I gotta be honest with you. When you got the world's greatest cut man saying that he feels it's going to truly bring the sport to the forefront, to the truest form, and you got to go with it. Travis, you're a fighter. What are your thoughts?
I mean, MF kind of said most of everything there is to say about it. I mean, I think the people arguing over it, man, once again, dude, that is just that ugly neighbor tribalism. You know, oh, yeah, fuck gloves, fuck no gloves, fuck wraps. You know, how many guys do we see lose a fight and be like, oh, yeah, jiu-jitsu's fucking stupid because that's how they lost. You know, it all just comes from these people trying to game the system and, you know, I liked MMA the way it was, even though it's not the way it was now. So I guess just to kind of turn this on its head, Don, you know, I actually read an article the other day. I don't remember who it was, but I'm going to pose this question to you. And now the guy in this article was saying that he thinks MMA as a sport has tapped out, that it is kind of it's reached its pinnacle of like this, you know, early 90s, you know, kind of older male demographic. And if you look at the way our future is going with the VR, with, you know, everybody now not being male or female gendered, with all of the, you know, no bullying and no violence and words are violence, do you think that MMA as itself, with the younger generation coming up, is going to survive at all? I mean, do you think it's going to – I guess I'll pose the question to you this way, Don. Do you see 50 years from now we either going and having gladiator fucking fights where there are sharpened swords and people are getting fed to lions, or do you see MMA as a whole with this younger, super soft generation growing up disappearing and becoming to where more and more people don't like the violence, don't like the brutality, don't like people fighting, you know, just kind of like we're seeing with football and them wanting to make it safer and safer, do you think that the new generation is going to kind of get rid of MMA, or do you think it's going to grow?
Well, to answer your question, I think the sport is already on its way out, both boxing and MMA. I mean,
I agree.
I'm just going to be quite honest. I say another 4-6 years max.
I find that weird that you say that, because I absolutely agree. I really see, you know, people, even just like me and F, man, as fighters, as trainers, I can tell you, dude, I'm sick and tired of the sport. Not because of the sport, but because of the promoters and the coaches and everybody fucking involved with it, man. You know, it's taken a lot of that purity and that love for something away from it. So I got to say, I agree with you. I see MMA, boxing, combat sports, including football, man, I see them on their way out.
Sorry, I was taking a drink there. I do too. The hell, they've already taken rainbows and unicorns from us, so you know what the hell's next. No.
Hey, brother, you still got the squatchy potty. You know what I mean?
Nobody's going to hate me for that, but they did. They already took our rainbow and they already took our unicorns. What the fuck is left, man? Get the fuck out of here. You know, but I really do, you know. I've been asked that question before on interviews that I've done for major syndicated shows, and, you know, I'm not the only one that believes it. You know, I'm not the only grit and grime the person from the trenches that truly looks at in that aspect. You know, you look at the way society is going, it's constantly changing, it's constantly evolving. I mean, hell, I expect babies to be born with two left arms coming soon. You know, oh, shit. I can't believe I said that. But, you know, it's just, you know, you follow the trend where it's going. I mean, it may sound hypocritical, but I truly don't believe that many people think for themselves anymore. I truly think it's a world full of people that are sheeple. And, you know, a lot of people can get mad about that statement. But I come from an era where when an elderly person spoke, you gained knowledge. You listened. You respected.
Mm-hmm.
You go to somebody's house. You sit on the couch. You don't say a fucking word. Because if you did when you got home, you got your ass beat. You know, so looking at life from where I come and watching the way society, and I'm just going to be quite honest, and I don't really care who it upsets, because I'm allowed to be my own personal thoughts. I think society has degressed. It's continuing to degress. I think that compassion for one another is disappearing. I think that the true magnitude of what life used to be, you know, the family picnics, the family reunions, dinner at the table, it's already a thing of the past. So when you take out a social structure in a life, then you have a person that can't speak or think for themselves. And I truly feel that that's where society is going. What are your thoughts, Samus?
No, bro. I think I've literally said everything you just said, probably the entirety of every single one of the shows we've done. No. People are definitely dumbed down. And, you know, it's not their fault either. And that's why I try not to get angry and, like, upset and, like, impatient with humans, you know, because it's, like, it's not their fault, dude. Like, that's how they were trained, that's how they were brought up, be it the government, be it society, be it the world, dude. Like, all that shit is equally as guilty for why people are where they are. But then you look at smart technology, people love it, you know, it makes their lives easier. But when you look at it, it's actually made your life easier, but it's made you dumber. And that includes me. That fucking includes me, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure you feel it too. It's like, we both grew up with technology. You just fucking people. Anyway, we both grew up without fucking technology. You know what I mean? There was nothing fucking there. I remember when, like, the computers, like, you know, lab class, you know, like, there was, like, 10 computers in the fucking school. There's, like, the whole school. You know what I mean? Like, barely fucking anything. But now you look at it, I'm like, fuck, I don't know how I'd really do without a phone all day with all the business shit I got to do and everything else. Like, how would you do without a car if you had to fucking fuck around and take a bike everywhere? You know, if we didn't have the internet to look up hella quick information. Like, shit, I barely remember the fucking Dewey Decimal System. You know what I mean? Like, I still know how to find a book in the library, but fuck. Like, that was difficult the other day. You know, like, there's all kinds of different things. It's like, once we learn something, like Travis says, it's hard to remember how life would have been without it. So when you look at all these people, it's, as they're growing up, as technology is making life easier, these people in turn have been brought up. It's like they were literally dumbed down from the start and never had a fucking chance. Then you look at everything that's fucking distracted by, like the fucking tribalism, like this side, that side, this sport, this music, this fucking whatever. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's got, they're fighting over something that they have no idea why they're fighting in the first place. And then you look at families in general, nobody's like what you said. Nobody sits down at the table no more. Nobody spends that time, you know? How many friends, like, parents would actually call and be like, oh, my mom beat the shit out of me if fucking somebody called her and was bitching about the fucking way I was acting or what I said in front of somebody else, you know what I mean? So it's the accountability, but you can't do shit. Because how the fucking 14th, like a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old call CPS because the parents spanked their fucking ass? Oh, because that kid knows better? No, you were being a little fucking shithead. And now these people expect, you know, tablets and fucking social media and the TV. They don't even want to watch their kids because they're so stressed out. So now it's the TV and fucking media and everything else raising their fucking kids. Plus the disconnection, the parents hate their lives. So what happens to the fucking kids? It's like this whole next generation, they're just like, even these youngsters now, they fucking literally grew up with no fucking chance from the start. And now, granted, the demographic of, you know, how your race is, because everybody wants to act like that doesn't fucking matter, but it does, you know, will depend on fucking how society looks at you and how it treats you. You know what I mean? So it's like, what can you fucking do? If we were to take away technology and actually let everybody kind of fend for themselves for a little bit, yeah, the strong will survive, but the problem is what's that percentage going to be?
You know, I have to agree. Travis, what are your thoughts, brother?
I mean, man, I think it's just like we've been saying. I really think that, you know, for all the good that the internet has brought us, it has taken people and it has put them in a completely unnatural position, you know? I mean, Don, you know as well as I do, we grew up in a world that if I'm talking shit about somebody, I expect to see that person around the next corner and them to say, hey, what the fuck are you saying? You know, we're just literally growing up in this simulated artificial reality that is so disconnected from regular life that, you know, you see it all the time. I mean, how many times do you go into, you know, any store, any hardware store, and there's a completely obvious, ridiculous fucking sign, you know, do not stick your hand in this fucking outlet or this wood chipper or this and that. You got to think to yourself, how fucking stupid do you got to be to stick your goddamn hand in a wood chipper? But then at the same time, you see the fact that kids are growing up where they're seeing, you know, more violence in one day due to YouTube than people would ever see in their entire life. They're becoming desensitized to it. And they're seeing things that, you know, really have no place in the formation of a child. You know, and I really think that it just, we've lost so many values by the fact that we don't sit down and have a conversation with our kids and say, what did you learn today? Who did you see? You know, what kind of amazing things get on? Did you see a dog get hit by a car? Did that scar you? You know, did somebody do something you don't like? Did you get hit in the face? You know, there is just such a disconnection from one person to another that I really think that that's kind of where this loss of compassion that you were talking about comes from, you know? People used to see each other, and they used to have to count on each other for things. You know, maybe the power would go out. Maybe we have to all get together, you know, and grow food or something. But now it's almost like the point where we're so disconnected from people that people have become, you know, people have become a nuisance. We're only seeing the worst aspects of them. The news only shows us the worst, stupidest, most ignorant people in the world, and it's just giving us an unrealistic expectation of the people that we go out into the world and see. So, I mean, I think like all things, man, it comes down to us as a people getting together and saying that, no, we need to do the things that are objectively real, you know, not the things that are subjective to yourself, but what can we do as a society to make sure that everyone is taken care of, to make sure that our elders are taken care of, to make sure that, you know, all of our friends and our family have food and somewhere to eat. You know, we just need to reevaluate what it is to be a human and what it is to be a community.
I think you're right, you know, and, man, fucking, it's just crazy because, I mean, I sit and, you know, these 53 years I've been on this earth, and, you know, I saw a statement the other day, when you were 20, you know, you thought you were on top of the world, but when you became 50, you looked back and realized that you hadn't done shit for 50 years of your life. And, you know, that statement resonates very well with me. And I don't know, you know, it's like talking about the whole situation. You know, the family reunions, the family dinners. You know, I didn't grow up with that aspect, but I've seen others that did, you know. So that's kind of a fucked up double-edged sword. But, you know, I still turned out a very prosperous, very, you know, professional person in my life and my retrospect. And, you know, I'm learning each and every day to kind of deal with the success, you know, MF, and you guys always give me crap about it. Jacob Stitcher-Rand gave me crap about it the other day in the live feed. And, you know, to me, man, life isn't about a fucking like. It's not about a fucking award you hang on a wall or a fucking belt you wear around your waist. It's what you give back in life. And, you know, I just, maybe I'm wired the wrong fucking way, but you know what? I like the way I'm wired because, you know, like I spoke of earlier, you know, I had my grandfather, who wasn't even my blood, taught me more about being a man than anybody on the fucking face of this earth ever could. You know, he taught me more about giving back without expectation, treating others how you want to be treated, you know, share life as it's meant to be and live it as such. And I did. And I realized from that point forward that every elderly person that I met, I was going to talk to and gain knowledge from. And I tell you what, you know, I'm not the brightest fucking bulb in the package, but I can tell you what, there's a lot more to me than worried about that fucking award or what people, you know, how they judge me or if I'm a legend in their eyes. I give two shits about that. The only award that I truly have gotten in my life that even matters to me, and it's because of what my grandfather instilled in me, and that's the belts that I got from the Golden Gloves for shooting the youth of the sport. Those are the only two awards that I think have out, you know. I think life is looked at and give me a like, you know, share my page, you know, oh, do this, do that. People say, well, Don, your page ain't that high. You know, the numbers aren't that high on Facebook because I don't give a fuck. I really don't. The people that follow me are by word of mouth or have been, you know, following me for 14 years on radio. You know, that's one thing I love about what I do. People follow me because they know who I am, not because of some fucking social media post. But, you know, I don't know. You know, life is what you create. And I look at society and I really feel that it's lost. But, you know, I want to take the show to another note. I did a post the other day that said, I want to wish all a truly blessed day. It got taken down and deemed as spam by Facebook. I posted it again out of spite, and lo and behold, it got taken down again because people say that Facebook was glitching. But not only with that, I got a warning that said if I did it again, I would be given a 3-day suspension. What is wrong with that aspect of social media? I can post a video of a child getting his head cut off, but I can't post have a blessed day. You know what?
So Don, I actually have a story that relates to this. I heard there was a, I forget what it was. There was a newspaper in Texas, I do believe it was. And for the 4th of July, they decided that they were going to, on Facebook, they put the Declaration of Independence. and Facebook flagged it and marked it as hate speech. And the publication down in Texas, they even, you know, released a thing saying, hey, we're afraid to post the second half because if we get another strike against our page, they're going to remove our entire publication because they said that, you know, the Declaration of Independence got marked by their algorithm for being hate speech.
I know the feeling, bro. I can't post "Have a blessed day." But yet, they have a blessed emoticon. They have, you know, hands praying. I mean, I don't get it, bro. It's like, I don't know, man. MF, what the fuck is wrong with Facebook, bro? I can't even post "Have a blessed day." I mean,
everything
I can't see why you stay away from it.
Everything is fucking wrong with Facebook. Everything that is wrong with society is Facebook. If you really look at it, it's like it being the embodiment of somebody's own ego. Like, if it's not your job, if it doesn't affect your job, then it's like, why the fuck are you on there? Like, I can understand trying to get in contact with people you ain't seen in a while, but it's like, really, dude, it's like, the people that have remained in my life, I'm still in contact with, you know what I mean? And the people that didn't remain in my life, guess what? I'm not in fucking contact with. It's not that complicated. Like, it sucks. It's shitty, but it's like, sometimes it's like, we went different directions for a reason, bro. Like, why are you trying to go against fate? You know, and then you look at everything else, like Travis said, like, people can go on there and fucking bully and talk shit and, you know, fucking get mad at somebody for doing this. Like you said, have a blessed day. That's probably because somebody wants to be an asshole or somebody that's fucking, you know, we'll say not anti-religious, but more atheist, I guess, if you want to call them that. You know, probably because that just offends them. So they're like, oh, that's fucking hate speech. It's like, no, it's only hate speech because you took it to be hate speech. It wasn't meant as hate speech. So there's like it's like Orwellian in a way, dude. Like, it's fucking weird. You know what I mean? It's like, how can you do one thing but not do something the exact same way, just say different language, different symbols? And that's another thing. What symbols are okay? Because, all right, you know, last I checked, the swastika was actually taken by the Nazis. You know, the Nazis took that shit from fucking books. You know, it means something completely fucking different. But when you look at people in the West, that's what they look at, and they get mad at the Asian cultures for being like, how come you guys don't see it as fucking hate because it was a Western culture that took it from them, like, less than 100 years ago, and that was there for thousands of years? Like, how can you get mad at these people? So you said have a blessed day. That's most likely when you're one of the people that follows you just to fucking be nosy. Either A, just fucking wants to hate on you or whatever expenses they fucking can, or two, or B, you know, for those keeping track, it could have been somebody fucking that just, you know, hates religion or hates Christianity or hates Catholicism or whatever the fuck it is. And the second you said bless, they automatically took it in that, you know, that context. So let's flag that shit as fucking hate speech. Like fucking Doug Casbier, you know, flagging our fucking show. It's like, how are you going to call it hate speech, bro? It's like, just because your little ass is mad and you're scared, you got to act like a little bitch, go behind the scenes and fucking do some shit. That's also why he moved out of the gym, by the way. As soon as he saw me and Travis after that shit, less than a week later, he fucking dished out on his fucking rent and everything else. He's scooted. But that's just how people are, bro. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll come at you with a mask on, dude. Like, if you don't want to play by the rules, I'm not going to play by the rules. I'm going to play by your rules. However far you take it, I will take it. No further, no less. You know what I mean? But it's like, if you want to play the game, that's cool. I have a different game that I play. You know what I mean? You think that you can play a little shadow game, but motherfucker, I'm from the shadows. There's a difference.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought up that little fucker. I can't stand him, man. I'll tell you what.
Oh, he literally, he legit up and took off, dude. Like, Steve told us. He was like, nah, bro. Like, he just gave me the keys. Like, didn't pay me rent. Didn't give me no kind of notes or nothing. Because he saw Travis and I in the parking lot as we were going there to do our filming shit, you know, for. But we were doing our film, and this little pulled in the parking lot and literally dipped right the fuck out. Like, looked at us, and he was like, nope. He just looked straight, both hands on the steering wheel. Like, he was trying too hard to focus looking straight, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, he up and dips. It was like, bro, I was like, you know, like, we was cool on the other side of the pillow until he started, got to start playing with the fucking game, you know what I mean? It's like, if you would have just stayed in your lane, like, nothing would have happened. But that's the problem with people is that they didn't go on Facebook and pull little fucking stunts like that, and they don't realize it's like, you know, like motherfuckers in the rap game, it's like, you can't talk shit like that to everybody. Like, some people are going to take that shit personal. Some people actually know what to do in situations like that, you know what I mean? But it's like, it gives them a pair of fucking cojones because they feel like they're protected behind the fucking internet. And it's like, no, motherfucker, I will find you eventually if you're even worth the time. But once you pull some coward shit, it's just like, you're not even worth me fucking.
Yeah, I feel you there, man. You know, man, I'll run on that little motherfucker someday. But, you know, it's life is kind of, I don't know, man. If you get out of the sheeple aspect, then you can really have a tremendous life. You know, I look at what I do. You know, I get to shoot, which is truly a life's passion. I get to interview some of the greatest fighters in the world and take away bits and pieces of knowledge from each and every interview. And on top of that, I get to jump in the music world, and I get to deal with some of the greatest aspects in that genre. You know, and that's all coming from a kid that people said would be nobody. You know, I guess what I'm trying to say is my words to, if there's any young people listening that are having a hard time in life, and Jared Gordon really owns this analogy, because he came on my show and spoke about it after an incident in his life. You could truly be at the bottom of the barrel in your life. You could truly have everybody saying that you will never amount to anything. See, one thing in life we have is called a choice. We have a choice to listen, and we have a choice to do what we intend to do with us. And I took the different route. You know, I realized that at a very young age that I didn't have a family. I didn't have any aspect, you know, and people said, oh, that's that kid that's going to just end up in prison. I chose a path that I wanted to show the world that no matter what, I could be what I want to be. And even though it took me a latter part of my life to realize that not only could I climb up from that barrel, but I could still live the dream that I had as a child, you know, to be something, to show those people in life that no matter how hard you bully or how you know, hard you hurt somebody or try to break somebody, it's the intent of the individual that either perseveres or gives them people more acclaim to what they said in the beginning, you know. And I you know, MF, the reason I kind of bring this up is because I've been having doubts about where I want to be in the aspect of the realm that I'm in. And I tell you what, I realized yesterday that there's too much, I've given too much of who I am to walk away from where I'm at now, you know. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. You know, I've been thinking about walking away from all aspects, but I can't do that. You know, this is who I am. This is what I was meant to be. And, you know, I don't know how you guys look at life, but would you say that assumption is ignorant, or do you feel that it's, I don't even know how to answer that question, really.
Yeah, I got you. I know exactly what you're saying. Let me get this one first, Travis. But, you know, we've had to talk about fate, you know what I mean? You and I, on a personal level, have had that talk numerous times, you know? And it's like, coming from my aspect, you know, I went from martial artist to fighter to coach to now all of a sudden fucking working a training app, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's the different aspects. And there was like a couple, you know, good years in between where it's like, I thought I was getting out of the shit, and they brought me right the fuck back. So there's things that you're meant to do. You know, it may be like a change of the job that you're going to be doing, but you're still going to be involved in the world that you're involved in, if that makes sense. It's like fate has deemed you to be where you're supposed to be. Now, the job itself may change, but the career or the fucking path, that hasn't changed at all. You know what I mean? It's just sometimes we're going to walk that shit barefoot. Sometimes we're going to jog it. Sometimes we're going to run it. Sometimes we may have to climb a little bit. You know what I mean? There's going to be different stages of how your life is going to play out. And like what you said, it's like all we have is a choice. Do we listen? Do we do? You know, it's like, and you follow your path. And I think that's why you're going to go in the right direction, because it's your path. You know what I mean? That's it, everyone's unique. Everyone's got their own direction and, you know, tasks that they're supposed to perform and, you know, accomplish before they actually pass. And I think that because you're on your path, that's how you're going to be able to get to where you need to be, because you're not following anybody else's path. But on my personal feelings on that, you know, and Travis can vouch for this one, it's like God has a plan for you. And if you follow God's plan, everything will work out. And you can take that on a religious aspect or a non-religious aspect, but it's like take it as fate. You know what I mean? People go against their fate all the time, and I believe that's where a lot of that depression comes from, because you keep repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, and then you keep achieving the same result, just, you know, with a different name, a different color, a different shade, a different whatever you want to talk about, you know. But it's just the way it goes, brother. You're following your path, man. That's all you really can do, and I admire you for that.
Well, I think, before I let you speak, Chris, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. It's like, in certain retrospects, you feel like you can only, I mean, you accomplish so much, and you feel like, okay, I'm at the pinnacle. What more can I accomplish? And then, you know, yeah, that radio aspect has changed lives. It's changed fighters. It's created, you know, enlightenment in life. And this show is truly added to a variable to who I am. But I don't know. You know, it stymies me as a well-articulated individual. And, you know, it has me questioning. I like that answer, because it even has me deep in thought about, you know, that retrospect right there. Travis, I'll let you answer this question, then we'll go ahead and wrap things up, brother.
Don, I think you in particular, being the journalist and being, you know, like you said, have put as much of your time and energy and soul into this as you have. I truly believe that now more than ever, you, as well as everybody else in the media, everybody else who has a podcast, who has a voice, who can actually get out and talk to people, I believe that you have a responsibility to fight the ignorance and the hypocrisy that's going on in the world right now, Don. You have a responsibility to be 100% honest and also take, you know, your own responsibility and have that extreme ownership about you. The only way that we are going to be able to bring back any of the, you know, family values that we've lost in this culture nowadays is we have to have the ability to have discussions. You know, this is – I used to be what you would call a left-winger, a Democrat. And I am so fucking disgusted by the fact that they want to shut down speech. It does not matter what the fuck the speech is. It doesn't matter if it's what you call to be hate speech. It does not matter. The only way we as a culture and as a people can figure out what's wrong and what's right and what is good for society and what's bad for people is we have to be able to talk. We have to be able to say stupid shit and have people smarter than us go, hey, that's a stupid fucking idea because of this reason, this reason, this reason, and this reason. Look at all these objective facts, and this is why we can't have something like Nazism, because white people just are not innately smarter than the other races. You know, it's a stupid fucking idea. And if we start shutting down speech and we start deeming everything we don't agree with as hate speech, that is the most fucking, you know, Orwellian, dystopian, fucking thought policing. It is a absolutely scary idea to me, Don. And you know, you told a story a few minutes ago about your grandfather and about all the things that you learned from him. You know, and we're living in a society today where they're literally using the word toxic masculinity. The word man is toxic. Anything that has to do with being a man or those skills and those, you know, those life lessons you learned from your grandfather about being a man, which is in its own right, you know, something incredibly hard to define. But when you start taking things like an entire gender and saying, oh, that's toxic masculinity, we can't teach children about being men or being boys or doing any of the thing that pertains to that, you know, it's going to cause our society to fall into a literal thought policing state. And I cannot see anything being more dystopian than that. So I truly believe, Don, that you have a responsibility to keep having these conversations and to just keep taking extreme ownership for all of your ideas, no matter if they're offensive or not. We have to get them out there, and we have to let people discuss them and come up their own decisions to, you know, these ideas.
You know, I love both of your answers, because you know what? And this is going to be the lesson for today's show. I need to be my grandfather. And I need to be my grandfather in the manner that I share the unique perspective in life and thought that he gave me to others. I need to give knowledge to people that I can to help save what I deem as a savable, you know, society. I need to look at life in that aspect. And you know, that's what I do with my pictures, but I do more with my show. But thank you guys, because you know, you really gave me an answer. You know, what I need to be in life is be what my grandfather was. I need to be that individual to anybody.
I just need to be you, brother man. Yeah, I mean, your grandfather
well,
got it.
You know what I'm saying,
you put a unique twist on it, though. You know what I mean? You definitely embody your grandfather well, if that's how he taught you. You know, but look at it like that, brother man. You offer something unique. You know, something that you can make better than how your grandfather taught you. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because on top of what he taught me, I have layers of pain. I have layers that I've learned from. So on top of his knowledge, I can add my knowledge and hopefully create more knowledge through another individual. That's dope. That's really dope, man. If I could take anything away from today's show, that right there is fucking the most deepest thing. You know, not only can I be my grandfather, but to add myself to that, to create.
And make it fucking better.
Yeah. That's dope as fuck, man. That's why I love doing this show. That's why I love you guys in my life, man. You know, I'll tell you what. You know, Travis was right earlier. People are ashamed to say it. You know what? But I love you guys, man. You know what? Life is truly a lot better place when you can sit down with your homies and have a great discussion about life and different aspects, disagree to agree, but at the end of the day, still love each other. I just wish the rest of society could be that way. On that
maybe
note,
that's what this show's for, you know?
Yeah, you know,
maybe
for
that,
real.
Maybe that's why it was fated to happen. Maybe people will hear this shit and start actually, you know, kind of looking at it from that perspective. They may hate us for it, but they, like, they can hate me all they want. I'm fucking used to it. But as long as they fucking help guide people down some sort of better path, or the path that they're supposed to be on, then, you know, so be it.
I have to agree with you. You know, I really love today's show, man. It kind of went different, but it kind of let me get a little bit off my chest and get a little insightful thought into, you know, the life and the growth that I need. And, hey, man, if anybody took away anything from today's show, that's all that matters. I'm going to toss the mic to you. Travis, anything you got to say? Floor is yours, homeboy.
I just think you made a really powerful point there, Don. You know, we've never met each other. And we can sit here, you know, across the phone from each other and disagree, yet nobody has to be wrong, and we don't have to fucking hate each other for it. You know, we're not special in any way, shape, or form like that. Everybody can go out and have these conversations, you know, have these conversations with your neighbor. Be able to go out there, find somebody you don't agree with, and have a conversation with them and don't fucking hate them. Maybe try and see it from their perspective. Maybe try and see how, you know, it could work out. And, I mean, just to keep this small or to keep this short, I saw a good, you know, quote about the educational system, and I'll just end on that. You know, we take the first 5 years of our children's lives and we teach them how to talk and how to walk. And then we throw them into public education where they teach your child how to shut the fuck up and how to sit down.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. MF, random thought of the week, my brother.
Yeah, I guess this kind of goes on what we were talking about earlier, but I wrote some shit years ago that one of the things was that, you know, if all that's left is a scar, you know, the scar is at least going to tell your story. And if the characters change, then I'm just going to fucking write another story. You know what I mean? It's the scars are what makes it. You know, it's like all your imperfections, it's like all your good, your bad, everything that comes with it is what makes you. But it's like that's what you could offer to people, you know what I mean? But don't be afraid to tell that story, but also understand it's the end of the book. It's always a blank page to let you know it's time to move on to the next story.
I like that, man. That's all to my friends. It's been a tremendous show. I look forward to next week. I couldn't ask for two more blessed brothers in life than what I got in you. Let's continue to change the world. Let's continue to do this show. I love it, man. On that note, God bless you guys. You guys have a tremendous day, man. And peace to both of you, bro.
Later.
Peace. Later, guys. Man, I didn't mean to let that much of myself out on today's show, but I did. I don't regret it. Look forward to some changes coming the third of this upcoming month. And life is going to be a much joyous place for me. On that note, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, the 86ers with Alfred Freddy, Cutman for Hire with Jacobs Fish Duran and Juan Ramirez, and last but not least, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice and the United Way with Merced. On that note, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. It's been a kind of a deep show, but on that note, I'm going to take you out with a little bit of a homie of mine, Eldorado Jones.
Yeah. My 95 Capri flow. Too low to be the police though. Say he don't know who I am. I bet his fine ass niece know. This beat goes so evil, like people eating people. Got me sitting with a stone face, like a gargoyle on a steeple. Going hard, that's Mando. Type of action that I plan for. Tattoo.